Welcome to Practical, Actionable Marketing, the podcast that brings you practical tips and actionable steps to take your marketing efforts to the next level. Whether you're new to marketing or looking to sharpen your skills, you've come to the right place for real-world tactics that drive results. In today's episode, Chris covers strategies for optimizing your lead nurturing sequences to move prospects through the buying process more effectively.
Hello, marketers. Welcome to the latest episode of Practical Actionable Marketing. I'm Chris Spanier, and today we're tackling something that keeps a lot of us up at night, building lead nurturing sequences that actually work. So, you've built your sequence, the emails are going out, but prospects are dropping off or going cold, and you're not sure why. Let's see if we can fix that. First, let's talk about sequence design based on entry points. The biggest mistake I see happening is treating every lead the same way. Your nurture sequence needs to map to the buyer's journey, not your sales timeline. The good news is, you don't need fancy automation to make this work. Start by creating different sequences based on how someone came to you. Someone who downloaded a beginner's guide gets a different sequence than someone who requested a demo. That initial action tells you where they are in their journey. Build at least two or three sequences, an awareness stage sequence for people who are just discovering their problem, a consideration stage sequence for people actively researching solutions, and a decision stage sequence for people ready to evaluate specific options. Most email platforms and basic automation tools can handle multiple sequences. You just need to route people to the right one based on their entry point. Early stage contacts need educational content that addresses their pain points without pushing for a sale. Mid-stage prospects want comparison content and proof points. Late-stage leads need clear calls to action and sales engagement. Now let's talk about timing. Most companies set their sequences on a fixed schedule, like every 3 days or once a week. Here's a better approach that works with any tool. Create a standard cadence, but build in checkpoints. After your third email, look at who's engaging and who's not. The people who are opening and clicking should get your next email sooner, maybe within 2 or 3 days. The people who haven't engaged should get more space, maybe a week or even 2 weeks before the next touch. Yes, this might require manually moving people between sequences or creating engagement-based segments, but it's worth the effort. If you're using a more sophisticated platform, you can automate this with workflow triggers, but even manual management beats a one-size-fits-all approach. Here's where most sequences fall apart. Drop-off points. You need to identify exactly where people are losing interest. Look at your email sequence metrics and find the specific email where engagement drops significantly. That's your problem spot. Maybe the content isn't relevant, the ask is too big, or the timing is off. Once you identify it, test different approaches. Try changing the subject line, adjusting the content format, or splitting that email into two smaller pieces. Run these tests one at a time so you can see what actually makes a difference. Now let me give you a practical personalization technique that works with most outreach tools. After someone takes a specific action, like downloading a resource or clicking through to a particular page, tag them or move them to a specific segment. Then, your next email acknowledges that action. If they downloaded your pricing guide, your next email might say, "I noticed you checked out our pricing. Here are the most common questions we get about cost and value." You're not dynamically personalizing on the fly, but you're creating logical pathways based on behavior. It takes a bit of setup, but once it's built, it runs automatically. Or, worst case, set notifying triggers so you can manually catch and move prospects into the more targeted outreach. One more thing, define clear criteria for when a lead should move from your nurture sequence to sales outreach. It might be when they open 3 emails in a row, visit your pricing page, or reply to an email. Whatever criteria you choose, document it and make sure both marketing and sales agree on it. Set up alerts or regular reports so sales knows when someone hits these thresholds. This prevents leads from falling through the cracks. Let's do some homework to help this all really take root. I want you to open up your current nurture sequence and map each email to a stage in the buyer's journey. Then, look at your engagement metrics for the last 30 days and identify which email has the biggest drop-off in open rates or clicks. That's the one you're going to improve this week. Write 2 new versions of that email and test them against each other. Even if you have to split your list manually to run the test, you'll learn something valuable about what resonates with your audience. That's all for today's episode on lead nurturing sequence optimization. I'm Chris Spanier, and I'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for tuning in to Practical Actionable Marketing. In this episode, Chris explored how to optimize your lead nurturing sequences through engagement-based timing, identifying drop-off points, and behavioral personalization that actually resonates with your prospects. Please consider sharing this with your marketing team or anyone who could benefit, and we'll see you next time with more marketing tactics you can put to work right away.